habit, I would ask you if you would to stand with me and we will read the word together. And again, this is a section of scripture we're reading together, so I'm going to ask you to read with me as well. And we're going to hopefully by the end of 1 Peter, we will know this section of verses. Let's do this thing. You ready? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God, please add a blessing to the reading of your word. Thank you. Go and have a seat. So we're going to talk this one through before we even jump into 1 Peter. And if you're newer, we're in 1 Peter, just working it kind of verse by verse. But I want to talk this one through because there's something that it says. It's actually three things just in that first verse that are amazing. You're a chosen what? Race. In the New Testament sees, Old Testament sees two races. Jew, Gentile, chosen people, everyone else. People who worship the one true God are supposed to. People who worship a multitude of other gods. The New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus has destroyed this dividing wall, this wall of hostility between the races, and has made the two races, Jew and everyone else, one in Christ. We are a new race of people, Christ people. That's who we are. That's the race we are. Biologically speaking, races don't exist. Oh, we got differences and differentiations and melanin differences. But from what I understand, I don't care how you get there or how you read it, we come from two parents. We're one race. One. And God doesn't look and say, okay, there's my black people I created. There's my brown people. And I'm not saying you have to be colorblind. What I'm saying is there's one race. And Jesus unifies us, and that's where unity takes place. He's destroyed that barrier. And let me go one step. I always want to take that one step a little too far because I think it's worth it. So let me take that one step too far. You will not have racial reconciliation outside of Jesus Christ. Prejudice and racism have existed forever, and they're in the hearts of anyone and everyone to some degree. Outside of Jesus, that doesn't change. Now, yes, speak for the oppressor. Yes, care about those who are hurt and those who are being victimized. Yes, all the rest of that, however you see it. But you will not have reconciliation outside of Jesus. And even in Jesus, he's still doing work in hearts. I came to know Christ, and it was several years before a pastor said, Brian, I hate your racism. Honest, I'm just being honest with you. And then after that, the Promise Keepers conferences helped me understand some things about my brothers and sisters. It came from that. It comes from the church. And let me just tell you straight up, I don't believe in a Christless racial reconciliation, but I got to tell you, man, I believe in reconciliation in Jesus with all of my heart. And when someone is hurt, I should be hurt. What angers Jesus ought to anger me and you. Does that make sense so far? You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. Jesus has done this thing on the cross. He came before the Father as the Son, and he died on the cross for our sins. And you used to have to go through priests with sacrifices and rituals and all the rest. Jesus has done it all. All to him I owe. That should be a song. Sin had left this, I don't know, kind of reddish crimson stain. He washed it white as, I guess, snow. Y'all should put that down. Write that down. And so we don't go to some priest, some clergy person to get to God. We are a royal priesthood. The word actually means somebody who can go straight to God without any other mediator. Christ is our mediator. There's no separation. You're a holy nation. We're a kingdom within a kingdom. If you know Jesus, you're part of his kingdom. He has his own rules, his own laws, his own ways of acting. Do unto others before they do unto... No, that's not right. Do unto others as you would have done to you, right? He has his own laws. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't even have time for this. Let me just throw it out there anyway. Nowhere does it say to love yourself. You know what it says? You already love yourself. Oh, but I just don't feel warm fuzzies. I have low self-esteem. Dude, take a pill for that. I got to tell you, you do love yourself. You took time in the mirror this morning, looked, you wore what you wanted to wear. You presented yourself the way you want to present yourself. You brush your teeth, Lord willing. You put food in your belly. You ate what you already take care of yourself. That's what love is. It's not the emotion. You already love yourself. Now, that same care and concern you have for yourself, you're supposed to have for your neighbor. You're a holy nation with rules and laws and a king that supersedes all others. If you ever get to a point in this nation or you live in another nation where they tell you you can't worship God, which one do you go with? I go with King Jesus, right? You're a holy nation, a kingdom, a people for his own possession. He chose you and said, I want you. And so before you're ever born, God knew you would be born and he said, I want you. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. He adopted you into his family if you love Jesus, if you know Jesus. It says that these things happen that you may proclaim. So when you see that, that's a purpose statement. That you may proclaim the excellencies or the praises, same word, of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I didn't see things right. I was in darkness. He called me to himself. The God of this world had blinded my eyes. He called me to himself, and now I see things completely differently, right? I understand things, and I'm still growing in that because I ain't there yet. Are you? Anybody walked on water lately? Yeah, so we still got a ways to go. But I praise him. The more I see him, the natural response of someone who really gets a vision of who God is they praise and glorify their God. That is the natural reaction. Once, you weren't a people. Now, Peter's writing to Gentiles. Once, you were these people who worshiped all these other gods in fear and loathing, and if I don't please them, they're going to hurt me. And now you're God's people. He has called you to himself. Once you had not received mercy, you were going to get what you deserved. Instead, he gave you mercy by the cross of Christ and said, you don't get what you deserve. You get God's riches at Christ's expense. You get grace. Now you have received mercy. Man, that's amazing. Saved from, saved to, saved for. Just going back 2 weeks ago. Now that having been said, I do want to jump into 1 Peter. We said last week, when you know what you can't lose, you got this inheritance stored up for you. It is being guarded, kept in heaven for you, the scripture says. When you know what you can't lose, you drop your fear over things you can't keep anyway. To the degree, listen, Christian, that you know what you can't lose, fear ceases. Oh, you're going to take this? Oh, the world's going to go that direction? You know what? God's got me. I know my God saved the day. That should be a song. Yeah, absolutely. And so he's writing to people who are dispersed. Peter's writing to people who have lost so much. They were thrown out of their villages. They lost their trades. They were thrown out of their trades. Families threw them out because they wouldn't worship the family God and the trade God and the city God. And they've gained much more. They've gained family and land and inheritance. They've got trials that will purify them, as we looked last week, that will grow their faith, that will produce joy at the coming of Christ. That's all last week. And they had to have asked. Is it just bad luck that I'm alive in times like these, in dangerous times? Understand, the Christians that Peter's writing to are on the edge of Nero's persecution. And Nero was a monster. Nero would take Christians, coat them in pitch, this black tarry substance, wrap fabric around them, put them up on poles and light them alive for his festivals. He either burned or allowed Rome to burn, we're not sure, and blamed it on Christians. Persecution was coming. They've lost so much. And I could just imagine if I was a Christian and living in that time saying, why could I have been born like later or earlier before all the persecution or back when Jesus was walking the earth? This is the second generation of Christians. Peter's now an old man. He will die very soon, within a year of writing this. Is there any reason you and I are alive right here, right now? Have you asked that question? Have you thought about that? Has that come across your mind? Why do I got to live at the time of COVID? Everything was going good. Why does my teen have to graduate without being able to graduate and go to prom that they've been looking forward to their whole life? Why does that have to happen? Why do we have to have our wedding planned for? In fact, I know someone who planned 2 years for a trip to Italy. That would not be a good trip in the midst of COVID. Why? Why do you have to be born at a time in which terrorism has come to the shores of America? 2001 was when it was huge, right? When the big thing happened. And there's still people who want to, homegrown or otherwise. When we've got deep divisions in our country that seem to have not gotten better, but have exacerbated. Have they not? I'm 56. I've seen things. I remember race riots in L.A., and I remember these things. It hadn't gotten better. Now we got social media, and so now we can coordinate, and we go to this city, this all at once. And I'm not commenting on anything other than, gosh, why do we have to live at a time where we're not getting along? Because I look out, and I know you guys, and I've spoken to so many, and we're more allies of one another than we are anything else. And yet, if you read social media, we're all on different sides based on melanin. How crazy is that? Amen. If you're being oppressed, I love you. I want to speak up for you. If you're not being oppressed, God bless you. That's cool. Let's walk together. Why do we have to be born in this time in which there is widespread corruption? How many of you, let me just do the show of hands, how many of you honestly believe that all of our politicians are honest and genuine and authentic and pure and good people? Okay, so nobody here needs mental health counseling on that note. Good, that's good. Right, they're all nuts and they're all corrupt. Ooh, that was once. Many of them are probably facing corruption. Don't audit me. Audit my wife. We live in a time in which laws and science are applied unequally. We've known about laws for years. If you have connections, you may be able to get off of that charge. If you don't, you got to go with the court appointed, you're in trouble. I quoted the stat, and it's still true. For somebody with the exact same background in the exact same crime, white people get 20% less sentence. That's wrong. And I know it upsets you to hear that. And you want to fight against it. I'm just quoting you a stat. Why do we got to live at a time which laws and science are implied unequally? Apparently, if you pray in a church and you go to church, you're all going to get COVID. But if you are all together in the streets, you won't get COVID. Hey, listen, I'm not quoting whether or not people ought to be in the streets. I think I might be upset as well. And I understand. But come on, man. If you're saying there's a danger regardless. But now we got people that are politicizing everything, even science. Why do we live at a time like this? Why do we live at a time in which we are spending so much in the national debt that I'm not sure what's going to happen, man? At some point, we get to the point that we can't even service the debt when it comes to the interest on it. Why do we live at this time, Lord? Why can't I be back in the 60s? Why couldn't I be back in the 40s? Why can't I? By the way, just so you know, there is no golden age. Every generation has had problems. But it is weird when you watch. Because the apparent trajectory of America, if you just kind of, where are we going with tribalism? It's not good. Honestly, aren't you glad you came to church today? I came here to help you just be happier in your life. We've got to chill on free speech. Because our free speech platforms now are social media, and they decide what is good and what's not, and they remove posts. That's weird, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. They're privately owned, but... You live in a time in which the church is no longer in favor. We came through a period that was an anomaly throughout the church history, and that is Christendom, in which the church had the primary seat at the table and spoke into the culture. And it was just a normal thing. If you're a family, you go to church. That's what you do, whether you know Jesus or not, right? That's what you do. Good, upstanding folks, go to church. And now... We live in a time in which one of the guys who ran for president, I'm not going to get partisan political, we don't do that here, one of the guys, I won't even name him, who ran for president was questioning somebody for come up for federal judgeship and said, because you're Catholic, I don't think you can judge right. And actually said your Christianity, however you work that, is going to keep you from being a judge or should. How weird is that? That's a time in which we live. The church is no longer in favor. There were churches where the police took tag numbers, and there was another where they're actually in their cars, windows closed, listening to an FM broadcast, and the police showed up. That's an overreach. And I'm not saying persecution, man. Ain't nobody killing us yet. That's not what I'm saying. But it is a little scary when they go and write tickets for people that are in their cars, windows up. It is a little scary that we had somebody who was running for office who said, in office, here's what I would do. I would watch those churches that don't fully accept the LGBTQIAA. I'm trying to remember all of it. I can't remember it. I had it in my head earlier. Who won't accept that agenda. We need to watch them, and we need to put them on the same list we put terror watch lists. What? I love everybody. I don't do gay marriages. I love people. That's just my conviction. That's the conviction of this church. It's not against anyone. We're not, I ain't throwing no stones, man. I love you. You're made in the image of God. Jesus died for you, right? You're going to put us on a watch list if you're in that office? You kidding me? This is a weird time to be alive is what I'm saying. I know I've just thrown a whole lot of stuff at you. I'm going to release you now to go to lunch, and you'll be all depressed the rest of the day. I promise I won't. Is there any reason that I am here right now, alive at this? Why can't I be born at another time when there's a lot more peace, when things were easier, when it didn't look like America was heading this direction, we're all going to split apart and fight each other, but we were all kind of pulling together because there was a time when we fought things and we did it together. We're not in that time anymore. Scripture says, we're going to jump into this and we'll talk this stuff through. Scripture says, though you have not seen him, we're picking up from last week, though you have not seen Jesus, you have not seen God, he's talking specifically about Jesus because this is the second generation of Christians. Peter walked with Jesus, they didn't. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Peter walked with these second generation Christians, had never actually walked with Jesus, but they've seen the evidence of Jesus, the love they have in their hearts, the new nature he has given them, the changed lives. The answered prayers. If you know Jesus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've never seen Jesus, probably, face to face. But if you know Jesus, man, there's that just that evidence inside. Man, yeah, this thing is real. You know what I'm talking about? That joy in the midst of just craziness, that peace in the midst of chaos, that new nature he has given you, that desire to declare his glories, to worship him. If you know Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. And the Bible says that when you love Jesus and you haven't seen him, there's a blessing for this. Let me show you this. Jesus talking to Thomas says this, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's looking forward to after his time, after he ascends into heaven. He says, for those who don't see me and believe, there's a blessing on them. That's you and I. Today, we haven't seen him, but we believe in him with all of our hearts, so much so that I'd give my life for him, and so would you if you know him and walk with him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. How could you not? Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The authentic faith in a Christian produces a joy that makes no sense whatsoever. The world's going crazy, right? I got a son. I worry about my son. World's going crazy. There's still joy in the midst of all of that, and it's inexpressible. I don't know how to tell you how I have joy in the midst of that. But I do. And if you know Jesus and the witness of his spirit within you, and you're walking with him, and if you're not, and you're really like, oh my gosh, we're all going to die, can I just walk with him? Spend some time with him. Spend some time in the word. Spend some time in prayer. Worship him and watch what happens. It produces a joy in your heart. It's paradoxical. Peter is writing to people who've lost everything, family, villages, trades, all of it. And they have inexpressible joy, just like you can, even though we're living in some weird times. He goes on, he says, you're obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You're obtaining the goal. That's the word for outcome. It's telos. It means goal. Somebody once said, Soren Kierkegaard once said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. The idea is that you reverse engineer. So what is my goal? Now, if my goal is get a lot of stuff, then you're going to live for a lot of stuff. You're going to work a lot. You may even sacrifice relationships, working your 90 hours a week. And hey, baby, one day we'll get together then, Dad. I know we'll get to. No. You're going to work so much so to get all your stuff that that's going to be your life because that's your goal. If your goal is to have as much fun as possible, then everything else falls to the wayside and you're going to pursue fun. And man, it's good to have fun. And nothing wrong with it. Here it says, the salvation of my soul, the idea that I will finally be there with him and all this will be complete. That's my goal. So I know that and then I reverse engineer. I want to worship him with my life. I want to know him so closely that the day I die, it's not a huge change. It changes how you live when you reverse engineer. Okay, then, if my goal is that I would walk with Jesus and one day I'm going to be there with him face to face and all of this ceases, how important is it really that I can't afford Cox Cable today? How important is it really that I don't have 5G? Oh my goodness, I need 7G. Come on, man, I need faster. Not that important. It changes everything in light of my goal. You reverse engineer your life. And yet I know Peter's audience had to be saying, why do I have to be alive now? Why not back when Jesus was walking the earth and I could have walked it with him? Why not some other time where there was peace and it wasn't so hard? And you need to know this. God is purposeful. Our God is not chaotic. Nothing takes him by accident. There's never been a time that God said, wow, I didn't see that coming. Never happened. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. No doubt about it. Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Esther was told. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. And if you remember the story of Esther, Mordecai is speaking that to her, and she winds up saving all of her people. And she's just some woman, just some person. No big deal, just like some guy, some woman, some person. She saves all of her people. God is, listen, God is purposeful. You, right here, right now, 2020, with great darkness. Light shines best in the darkness. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason, and it's greater than just you. I promise you. There are four stages concerning Christ. I want to just show you. There were those in the Old Testament. They had a hope and a desire. They looked forward to Christ. Genesis, in the book of Genesis, 3:15 had said that Christ would come. That was the beginning, called the Protevangelion. It announced that Christ would come. There are people who, for generations, thousands of years, looked forward to the time that Jesus would come and would set things right. There were those who, when Jesus came, knew him and walked with him in the flesh. Peter and Matthew and John and James and all of these guys got to, and that's cool. But you know, when they were walking with him, his spirit wasn't permanently indwelling. They didn't have the new nature yet. They still struggled when you read all the struggles and Peter being just a jerk and James and John going, hey, let's call down fire on the Samaritans. And Jesus is like, yeah, no. Go to your room. They knew him in the flesh. That's cool. They didn't have him. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus did, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. It's a good thing for the time we're in. There are those that, like you and me right now, we're not seeing him face to face, but we see him with eyes of faith. And so if you've placed your faith in Jesus, he is as real to you as that chair right there. You've placed your faith in Christ. We see him with eyes of faith. And the next step is, if you know Jesus, the next step is sure. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go, well, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and if God's having a good day and he's happy, I get to go to heaven. No, no, no. If you know Jesus, man, that's been dealt with on the cross. And there will be a day that you see him face to face, knowing him as you are known. That day is coming. And all the bills and all the worries and all the fronting and image and how will I be perceived and will people like me and all the rest of that is gone. It's done with. And there's no more worry. There's no more pain. He wipes away those tears. It's just joy in his presence. And you have that coming if you know Jesus. It's called the great hope. You have that. God purposed you to be here right now at this time period called the church age in which you see him with eyes of faith. And yeah, there's chaos and disorder and violence and our world's going crazy. Same as Peter's audience. Their world went crazy. More so than ours has so far. Society is breaking down. You're here for a reason and a purpose. Let's go further. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. So 1,000 years prior, Psalm 16 was written and talked about the suffering Christ and his coming. 1,000 years before this, 700 years prior, Isaiah talked about the suffering servant. These guys looked forward. They wrote about it. They wanted it. They didn't get it. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. I need to stop here just for a moment. It says what person was indicating, what person. So here's what you need to know. When we say Jesus Christ, we're not using first and last name. By the way, his middle initial isn't H. Just so you know, promise you it's not. Jesus is the person, Christ is the office. And so throughout the Old Testament, they looked forward to the time that God would send the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, all the same word, right? And they were looking for that. And the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, was an office, and he would come and he would rescue his people. And so all throughout the Old Testament, they're looking forward, and it's called the consolation of Christ. They're constantly wondering, when is he going to come? When's he going to rescue us? When is this going to happen? And so the scriptures will say this: God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Listen, God was in the office of Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is in the office of Christ. And so all these people in the Old Testament were writing about something they would never see, and they wanted it with all their hearts. They wanted to be alive during this time, the church age, when Jesus lives in your heart, when he gives a new spirit. He replaces your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. He writes his laws upon your heart. They wanted this time of grace. Saying, why couldn't I be born back then? Have you read the wars in the Old Testament? Dude, it was a pretty bloody place, a pretty bloody time. Have you read about what it was like for women back in that day, in that age? This was not a good time. It was revealed to them, these people writing, that they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have been announced to you. In other times, they didn't even get to know Jesus. They didn't know about that. All of Scripture looks forward to it, and you get to live in it. Right here, right now, watching the world wake up from history. I was alive and I waited. I waited. I was alive and I waited for this. Jesus Jones should write a song like that. Through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the end part there, but we're in the church age, and so all of the ancient prophets looked forward to this time in which the Spirit would live in you. Let me stop, just make sure we're on the same page. If you know Jesus, his Holy Spirit is living in you. You don't come into a building to get into his presence. It's true that we gather here and that God is working together in us as we meet together in a way that he isn't alone. We're meant to be together, but you're never out of his presence. You know that thing you did last Tuesday? He saw you. He still loves you. I'm just telling you, you're never out of his presence. He lives in you. That's the church age. You're under a new covenant. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Covenant of grace, not blessings and cursings tied to land, but grace in which he has covered all of your sin. In fact, there's a better word that's used. He has removed all of your sin. It's been placed on him. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is the time in which you live. You have something that nobody else before the cross of Christ really had. Listen, you have the confident expectation of eternity with him. If your sins are forgiven, you're in Christ. He paid for all of them. All of them are future sins for you when he died. Yeah, he died for all of them. Stuff you ain't even done yet, he died for. If your faith is in him, you're under a covenant. God will not abrogate. He will not walk away from his covenant. He's got you, and he loves you. The Bible says that angels long to peer into these things or look into this. And I looked up that word, and that phrase, actually. The idea is that the messengers of heaven, the angels of heaven, are actually kind of craning their necks, looking down on trying to figure all this out. It's a curiosity to them. They didn't get that. You and I did. Jesus did this for us. They rebelled, the ones who did, and there is no redemption for them. For you and I, Jesus said, you're made in my image. I'm calling you to myself. I'm adopting you into my family. They were born then, those ancients, for a purpose and a reason. You've been purposed by your Father in heaven for right here, right now. You're not here to exist and to strive and to die after a life of trifling over things that don't matter in eternity. That's not what you're born for. That's not why you're here. You're here in this moment by design, by your Creator, with the gifts, talents, abilities, and personality that you have to make an eternal difference in the lives of others by how you handle life today. And there's no pressure on it. You just live for Jesus. Others see it and say, man, there's something about you. Yes, there is, and it ain't me. I don't get to pat myself on the back, but Jesus is good. I'd like for you to know him too. And I will stumble, and when I do, I'll humbly admit it, and I will screw up sometimes, and I'll admit it, and I will go through tough times, and you get to watch how a Christian goes through tough times. And hopefully all of it's a witness, and God will use it. You're here for a purpose and a reason. And God has placed people around you you don't even know for a purpose and a reason. By the way, I realized I'm not making a great impression. I'm an introvert. Not making a great impression with my neighbors. I found out this morning, one of my neighbors thinks I design games for a living. I thought about it. Man, I could probably make some scratch if I could do that. I'm just not very good. Fat stacks of money. I'm not good with that. Another one, I think, thought I was a biker church pastor. That hadn't been for years, but thank you so much. I don't even know, man. I'm going to have to work on my witness is what I'm saying. It's just there's a problem. I went writing down. I know, but it was funny. That's one of my neighbors. That was just funny as all get out. Somebody else said I had a new motorcycle. No, I just painted it. Light shines in the what? What does light shine in? The darkness, yeah. And the darkness doesn't comprehend, but Jesus can break through. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said this. He said it to his disciples. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. He could have picked anyone. He didn't pick the top, the cream of the crop. He picked fishermen and just average people. I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus has chosen you for this time, for this place, for the people you're around. And I got to tell you, and I struggle with this, he didn't choose you to convince people to vote the way you do. He didn't. I want to do that. Can I just tell you? Because if I do it, it must be right. He didn't choose you to get people to agree with you on Facebook. And I struggle with this. It's been a struggle lately. He chose you to light the way for people who are in darkness that they could know and walk with Jesus too. And all you got to do is follow him. You carry a cross, that's self-denial. You pick it up. You follow after him. You're here by the will of God for a purpose and a reason greater than your own life. And you begin to live when you understand that. It's not about me. The more the chaos, the more the disorder, the greater your opportunity. The church's finest hour is in an America that seems to be in the shadows of its own downfall. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we get revival. Maybe everything changes. Gosh, I hope so. I want people to know Jesus. I want Christians to walk with Jesus. But if we continue in this trajectory, we tear each other apart. And if you look in Scripture, I'm going to go one, I always want to go that one step too far. I can't help it. If you look in Scripture, I don't know that you see America at the end. You see other nations. I don't know that you see us. Maybe we're gone. Maybe we're there and it just doesn't focus on us. Maybe we've lost our dominance. I don't know. You know, that's why I'm glad my hope is in America. And if yours is, dude, let me give you the Greek word for it. You're screwed. If your hope is America, dude, get a new hope. Yes, love your country, pray for it, see all the good and the bad. In the end, your hope is Jesus. And that's the only one that won't disappoint. Therefore, we're going to go a little bit further in the Scripture. Therefore, because you have this inheritance in heaven, therefore, because you're placed at this point in this time, and all the prophets talked about it, and you get to live in it, therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded, set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man, I don't have time. I'm going to do this fairly quickly. Back in that day, they would wear some long, flowing robes. And if you had to run, if you're out somewhere and somebody says, hey, hurry, your wife fell and she's bleeding and things aren't good, you wouldn't immediately start running. You would take this robe and tuck it into your belt. It's called girding up the loins so that you can run. Because I don't know if you've ever seen it, but men running in dresses doesn't go well. So you gird up your loins so that you can run. That's the phrase that is actually used in the original. It is gird up the loins of your mind. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, girded, ready, nothing in the way. That means you're not running after conspiracy theories. You're not running after myths. You're not accepting lies. You don't have runaway fear and anxiety. I'm not talking clinical. I mean, you're just letting your mind go there. You're not thinking about all the good old days, and man, it was so good back then, and why do I have to live now? You're not into gossip and confusion. And I get it that it's hard to tell these days. I was talking to a preacher about this, a fellow pastor. And you go, well, you know, they say this side's saying this, and they both claim Christ, and man, they're contradicting, and which way do I go? You go with the Scripture. It's just easy. You got a mom blogger who says, well, that's not really a sin anymore. I mean, I know the Scriptures say that, but they were written a long time ago. You got the woke guy who says you need to bow and wash the feet of, and hey, man, I believe in foot washing. I do within the church. And I believe in serving others, absolutely. But foot washing is an ordinance. Jesus, talking to his followers in John 13, said, if I've done this for you, you ought to do so for one another. And there's a blessing attached to it. Blessed are you if you do these things. You got the woke guy saying, hey, man, you got to bow before. You know what? Why don't I walk with you, alongside of you, and we'll together bow before King Jesus. There's our unity. That's our unity. You got the other guy saying, no secular music. If you're listening to secular music, by the way, if you don't, it just means good music, or it also means non-Christian. Can't listen to secular music or you're in sin. You need to work on your sanctification, brother. Dude, shut up. You have to read the King James Bible only. Oh, I can give you a million reasons why that's not the only version. And you got all these people saying all these different things. Here's the thing, human nature ain't changed. In Peter's time, there were those who called themselves by the name of Christ, and they would say, yeah, I know you're going to get thrown out of your trades and if you don't worship those gods. It's okay to worship the God of carpentry or the God of... God understands, it's no big deal. You had people who called themselves Christians who called for compromise, the same as we have today. They'd have others who would say, you shouldn't even be in the same trade. You shouldn't be a carpenter because it's associated with that God and you're going to make others stumble. And you didn't know who to listen to because human nature ain't changed. It's always been that way. Your mind's ready for action means this. Nothing gets in the way of following Jesus. I don't have to listen to a voice just because somebody calls himself Christian or has the loudest voice or the biggest platform. I follow Jesus, not people. You need to know if you're new, you're not in a church that's pastor-centered, and thank God for that. We are Christ-centered. Men and women come and go. Jesus remains. You live for an audience of one. He's the one who matters. That's what it means to have your minds ready for action. You saturate your mind with the Word, with truth. You pray. You have a biblical worldview. They needed it, the ones Peter's talking to. Persecution was coming. Can I just say lovingly, you need it too. I don't know what's coming because I ain't been there yet. But it ain't good. But Jesus is. And that's where your hope is. So I'm not tripping over my robes. I'm running to follow Jesus. You're not here by accident. Your God has called you and your world needs you. And so you want to be ready. There will be divine appointments that if you're walking with Jesus, you won't miss. And you'll be able to do things that you wouldn't have done if you weren't watching for those divine appointments because you were walking in the Spirit and walking with Jesus. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded, set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sober-minded. And I got to do this fairly quickly. Set your minds, gird up the loins of your minds, sober-minded. It uses the word for intoxication, but it's not talking about alcohol. It's talking about your mind specifically, not your whole body. What it means is you're not intoxicated in your mind with the latest fad, the newest thing, the cultural trend. Doesn't mean that you can't engage and enjoy some things. You have to have cutting edge, whatever, and you have to have the approval of others. You're not emotion driven. You're not given rationalizations for sin. You're sober minded. I know what the truth is, and that's what I'm going to walk in. And today, the times in which you live, look, Christian, just for a moment, stay with me. The days in which you live, emotion is substituted for truth. If there's enough emotion, you're supposed to do whatever they say. It's used to push agendas, and you can't question with facts. Because so-and-so is hurting, and they say, this is a problem. Not so with you. You are sober-minded. Not intoxicated with emotions. Your hope is not in relationships. And if it is, you're going to be sad because no relationship will ever completely fulfill you. Your hope is not in money because however much you have, you're always going to need a little bit more, and it's never fully secure. The more you have, the more you got to worry about. More money, more problems. Your hope is not in self-improvement. That's ridiculous. Your hope is definitely not in society getting better, is it? Because I've been looking out there. It's been 3 days. It ain't rose from the dead. We still got incivility. And yeah, it'll look good for a while, but it's still going to fall apart because it's human and it's fallen and ain't nobody perfect. Your hope is in the grace of Jesus. That's where your hope is. And here's the blessing of this moment. We've seen the failure of businesses to sustain through just a few months of COVID. Didn't take long. There's businesses that aren't coming back. right? There are ones that have closed and they're not coming back. My hope is not in, I'm going to start a business or America's always going to look amazing. It didn't take long. Supply chain problems immediately. It didn't even take long, right? I don't know why you guys need so much toilet paper. I'm praying for you. But it was a strange thing. We've seen the failure of stocks and money and the market tumbled. And at some point you will see hyperinflation. Again, I'm not a prophet. I'm saying everybody says that. You've seen the failure of Christless reconciliation. We've been trying racial reconciliation forever. Man, I am for it. We're both made in the image of God. You have innate worth and value, and I praise God for you. Jesus died for you, and he died for me, and there's no reason we can't walk together. Outside of Jesus, we're not going to. In fact, the same people who are talking about this stuff are making some of my black brothers and sisters hate me simply because I'm white and prejudge me. And that hatred and bitterness should not exist. I'm an ally, not an enemy, and so are they. We've seen the failure of our society and of safety. We have public officials who will let things go on and won't do anything to stop it. They say, well, let's just pull the police back and let it go. Why in the world would law? Why would you do that? We have learned that we can't put our hope anywhere else. This is a good moment because you learn to put your hope in Jesus alone. The world will change. The world will decay. If you look at all the countries on the face of the earth, there are very few that have had freedom for any long period of time because we're fallen. And Jesus alone is good. And the greatest freedom you have is the freedom in your heart that he gives you. Jesus, just Jesus. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is purposeful. Let me say it again, you're not here by accident. You arrived at this time for a purpose and a reason greater than you. You're not his child by accident. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And you got connections with God that the people around you need, a holy nation. Don't you dare get your ideas of customs and laws and how to act towards others from the world around you. You get them from your king. And when they tell you to hate others, you pray for them. When people use you and hurt you, you call out blessings on them and heap hot coals on their heads, it says in Romans. That you may declare the praises, the excellencies of him who called you. Don't worry about the darkness. Don't be angry and upset. Don't do it. You'll do that until you see what God wants to do through you for his glory in your world. Yeah, absolutely. Grieve the fact that you missed your prom or your daughter couldn't get married with a big church wedding that you'd planned on. Grieve those things. Grieve the things you've lost. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, be upset by oppression. Be upset by demonstrations that were hijacked and turned into riots by people who did not want that to happen. They just simply wanted to protest. But know something, man. You're here for a reason. You are purposed by God. God has you here at this moment, at this reason, for a reason. These are hard times. There's lawlessness. There's corruption. The trajectory of this country. There's the hatred of believers by some. You don't see it as much in Roanoke. Try the left coast, and oh my goodness. National debt, division. All of that is true. You are purposed. You're here for a reason. And you would say, but I'm just one person. What can I do? I'm just one woman, one man, just one person. What can I do? Not much. But don't tell me what the Spirit of Christ in you can't do. He can do greater than you can even imagine or think. And Jesus is more than enough, and he lives in you. You follow him, and you glorify him with your life. And one light may not do much, but in the darkness, it'll light the way to others who need that light. Simply live what you know you believe. This is a great time to be alive. It's the church's finest hour if we actually live this thing. I get it. You're just one person. I get it. Well, I have joy in the midst of trials and relationships. I have beliefs, but I don't know whether I know God as Father. Good, if that's you today and you have some beliefs, but you're not sure that you actually have joy in the midst of your circumstances. You don't actually have peace. Maybe it's time to bend the knee and say, Jesus, I want to follow after you. That may be what you need to do today. And I want to invite you to do that, to get adopted by a God who loves you. You say, God, save me. For the rest of us, God, show me my purpose. Show me your purpose for my life. Let's take time, let's pray, and then we'll see if there's questions, comments, and disagreements.